We are recording.
It looks
Do
like
you
it. Yeah.
see it?
I
Does
got the
it
got it.
says,
Yeah.
let's go. Let's do it.
We're on it.
I have no idea how this is gonna work. Are we pretending like we didn't do it?
No, we're gonna absolutely acknowledge it, but Lucky's getting all the blame.
I feel bad. I don't think he should. I don't know why I feel bad for a not real person to take my blame for things.
Maybe you have to play a little bit of Lucky on this.
Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton,
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights. Welcome.
Yes. Yes. Welcome, everybody.
I'm gonna get us just into it. Let's play it.
If we're gonna dive into it, Lucky, you've had the job for a freaking month.
And I'm doing the best I can. I didn't work on Zoom.
Yeah, I mean, you could have told us. I'm pretty sure you understood about halfway through that you weren't recording, Lucky.
I think he did. He looked at me. So let's take a second back. Everyone, we're here. You are all thinking, why aren't they just talking as normal? The issue being, we've done this episode before.
Mm-hmm.
This is round number two for Led Zeppelin. And we had a little slip up with our newfound producer. I'm not
Lucky.
Not a fucking producer. Just been hanging out doing crossword puzzles. You told me I was a producer. It's not unexcusable.
Honestly, Lucky, seriously, the job was just you hit record and we'll call you the fucking producer.
Yeah,
we'll do it. All the other work.
You're quintessential cool carries you for the rest of it. But at this point, I don't even know if that's going to work.
Give me a second chance, fellas. Give me a second chance.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is definitely not because someone else who is in charge of pressing record. The only job they have is to press record. It's definitely not that person's fault.
It is definitely not. Be. Colton Saylor's fault. Definitely That's, not Colton Saylor's
that, we'll
fault.
Cut that out. That gets out in post.
No. See, Lucky isn't responsible for editing. I am.
So we're recording on a weekday night now. We record on a Sunday afternoon. We're in the dead of night. This is far darker. Maybe better for Led Zeppelin. I don't know.
Possibly. All I know is we've done this once before.
Well, we're going to do even better. And here's what I was thinking. Between the time of Sunday and Thursday, I think the things that I like about Led Zeppelin, I like even more. And the things that I dislike, I was ready to like start to soften up on some of them. I'm like, my trenches are dug deep for some of those takes I had. So I'm ready.
I didn't listen between Sunday and Thursday.
I went back to one album that you and I seem to be very far apart on. I went back and re-listened to that record again. Once in entirety, and then a couple songs again.
Yeah.
Just for everyone who is unfamiliar, I think my reputation amongst our friends, Rob, if you think this is correct, I'm the like non-classic rock guy or something to that effect.
It's very true. Much to the chagrin of a lot of our listeners, they're not fond of that kind.
Yeah. Who even now is thinking that son of a bitch. And what?
Speaking of, I already kind of dropped the ball. For anybody who's new to this podcast, Colton and I are going to talk about quite a few things. We're going to still talk a little bit about Zeppelin, but after this, we're going to dive into some other categories. But stick around. We have some fun, but we will talk even further about Zeppelin, and even though we already kind of did once before.
I was going to say, we're definitely a professional podcast and not two guys that one of them doesn't hit record on Zoom. We are here to entertain you with our takes on songwriting. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have heard the song Tribute by Tenacious D. But the greatest episode we ever recorded, nobody gets to hear.
That's just for us.
That's just for us, man.
That was just a friendship bonding night that we weren't aware was actually that. Oh, Lord. Well, here's the thing.
Let's see if we display the same passion. Because I have a feeling I know some of your answers to our categories.
But here's the thing, then. I just find that to be untrue about myself. In fact, I think by the way, Rob, quick little spoiler. Mm-hmm. I did change what band I want us to listen to.
I had a feeling you were going to, because I didn't know how we were going to handle that.
And I was all excited. And then I think the reality hit. No one will even know who I chose, because I would like to go back to that person again at some point.
I feel fortunate that I have a little bit of a heads up now.
I'm very excited for my pick. I think I've even started to listen a little bit to confirm this is who I wanted. But I think my issue growing up was, and I grew up in a house where my dad was like an Eagles guy, a Tom Petty guy, very like, what the term I think people use is like soft rock, dad rock. I don't know.
But honestly, I would describe Tom Petty as classic rock in my head.
I would think so.
And the Eagles. Just not as good as I love Tom Petty.
He's near the top for me.
The Eagles are all right.
But
I dislike them.
I think I grew up with that more of that singer-songwriter mold from both my parents. My mom, I was listening to like the Supremes. But
let me
also
guess
like
the
Black
other
Sabbath.
One.
if we keep like, we're gonna seem like we're crazy.
Oh, no way! Your mom listened to the Supremes and Black Sabbath. Yeah. I'm not that good an actor. I'm trying to recreate this.
And I did listen to the Supremes again, and I was like, wow, they're just as good as I remember.
I love
they're
the
amazing.
Yeah.
But I just think that there are certain bands that are like sort of in that, you know, echelon of just like the classic rock bands people tell you to listen to, that when I was younger, I would dig in my heels and I'd go, I don't want to, partly because those kind of people were a little obnoxious to me, but also I think I never liked thinking I needed to like a band because I was supposed to like them. And that's what got me through most of my childhood. I'm a more open-minded person now. No,
I think
the last episode.
Yeah, yeah. but I think there are a lot of people who kind of have that approach to where they almost, music's that much more special to them when they discover it for themselves.
I think that's right.
I have friends who do very similar things to what you do, to where I just know that if I suggest it to them, they're either going to hate it or not listen to it. And I don't build it up. It's not like, you know, when you see a movie and you go like, you got to see this movie. It's the best movie you'll ever see. I'm not doing anything like that. I'm just like, yeah, you should check out, you know, Be Your Own Pet. Fortunately, a few friends did, and a few others did
this
not.
This is a conversation we have definitely had. The other one, and I was
not just
you,
this last episode that we didn't record. Just in general, we have
in
this.
General. You a long time ago, you were telling me how good the Arctic Monkeys were, and you were like, this is a band that I could see us being like very somewhat close to from like when we were in our band, My Friend Sam. Mm. And I think, and here's the thing, when I hear that, my initial reaction isn't, fuck this guy, I'm not going to listen to that. I promise you it's not. It's more like when I get a text message and you look at the text message and
you go, God.
Oh, this is great. And then I go on with my day. I don't respond. And I might even think to myself, I should respond. And then I don't. And then at some point, it feels like it'll be weird to text a person back.
Colton still hasn't responded to my text saying, hey, you should check out this band, the Arctic Monkeys.
And that's like four phones ago. That phone is like, it's like in the netherworld, still not responding to that text. But I did hear the Arctic Monkeys' latest record that came out. It was really good. I was going to tell you about it.
they're not bad. But for me, with Zeppelin, I actually had a very like, My parents had this big record collection. It was awesome. And that's the first record. I don't know if I've ever told you this, Colton, but that's the first record I can remember holding, like holding on to and looking at while you put the record on. I mean, we do this now because we have our vinyl collections, personal ones. Mm-hmm. And you kind of put on the vinyl. You take a look at the artwork. You know, that was the first time. And it was Led Zeppelin 4. Mm-hmm. And it was just, or whatever you want to call it, Zep Heads. Or what are we?
Yeah, we tried to establish this before.
Zep heads.
Led Zeppelin fans are listening to this. Tell us, are you a Led head? Are you a Zep head? Are you a Led Zed person?
A Zeppelinite? I don't know.
I like Zeppelinite. I think that's stately.
That was off the top of my head.
I keep looking at the corner. You saw where it said recording. Do you approve this recording? Right? That's definitely a thing you saw.
All right. I'll take slight responsibility. I've never noticed that in the top corner of my screen.
But it says recording. Says recording.
I mean, the light's blinking, so I just feel like you hit pause or something.
No, I hit nothing.
No, I think okay. It's fine. But yes, it was beautiful listening just that moment. And so, and just their entire record collection was filled with classic rock. And I think my parents are older than your parents.
Possible. My parents. We don't have to compare years.
Yeah, I guess we don't really have to do that.
I do think there's something to be said though about like the, it's not like who recommends it, but it's like who shows you from when you're younger, especially like bands that you just kind of built something up. Cause like there are people that I still today feel like I'm like trying to ride or die for that. I can like very much in my head recognize are not anything special, including, I was just thinking about this person, Bryan Adams, where when I look back at him now, I'm like, what was it? But it was listening to the So Far So Good cassette tape with my dad and my older sister and listening to, like, Summer of 69. Those memories are really strong.
I mean, I can dig Summer of 69, but that's about as far as my Bryan Adams goes.
There's some deep cuts. My claim to fame is always that I was, like, not very close, but actually kind of closer than I ever thought I would be to opening for Bryan Adams when he was... Really? He was playing a show. This was back in MySpace, and Numbskull, which was a like no one knows this except if you're like a person from Lancaster. They were like a booking place on MySpace that used to do different shows in the valley, and they were actually putting on a show where Bryan Adams was playing. It was like some kind of a like benefit concert or something. And I messaged the guy like three or four times, and I was like, you don't know this. I am a huge Bryan Adams fan, like huge, and I would do anything to open for him. And he said, I would do it.
Oddly enough, I didn't know that back then. I hardly knew that now. Like, even we brought that up in a previous episode. I didn't know you were a, like that into Bryan Adams.
I held that secret well.
That's why you don't like Bryan Adams. Okay.
Yeah, well, I know that Bryan Adams once got upset because someone called him Bryan Adams. And I was like, hey, man, you'd be lucky to be the Canadian Bruce Springsteen. How dare you? Oh, my God. I think now is a good time for us to check in with what we're listening to this week. Yes. Rob, what are you listening to? Give us your song of the week.
Grace by Cartoons.
Featuring Wonderful. Ray Khalil.
Yeah, Ray Khalil. Yeah, it was a really good song. The main reason that I featured it is because our buddy Leo, who just, well, for us just recently started up his podcast again. He and his brother Danny. Everybody, please go check out Chit Show.
That's C-H-I-T. S-H-O-W.
Yes. It's not a shit show. It's a chit show, everybody. I believe that was the intent behind the pun. But he also has something that I've become quite a big fan. I set aside my Mondays for. He every Monday from 5 to 9, he does Bedroom Radio. And it takes on different themes. The one that I just previously listened to was like you had to guess. He would play an original song, and you would have to try to guess which hip hop song sampled that.
Nice.
Yeah. And I did win, but that does not mean that I am like a hip hop aficionado. But yeah, it's a really good show. But the song, that was the first night that I listened to him. Like, this song's really good, and it's a fairly unknown artist. I mean, they have maybe like 17,000 views on YouTube, which is known, but you know, there are a lot of people who have many more. But I just thought the song was really good, and it should get it. You know, we are really good at promoting unknown artists. Like, if you really want to get known, people are listening to this podcast.
Hey, come on. Hey, the Cartoons, come on and talk to us about your tracks. I liked it a lot. I think I mentioned this from the first time that we were discussing this. It's a vibey kind
of
song.
Damn it, Lucky.
Fucking sorry. Hey. No, it's, I think there's like a, for me at least when I'm on YouTube especially, I'm keeping an arsenal of like vibe tracks, and they're more or less like a lot of lo-fi playlists. This obviously isn't lo-fi, but it has that same kind of appeal to me where, like, it's not like the instruments or the music is really doing anything that like sets me on edge, but it is something that I can just kind of enjoy.
Yeah, wrap it in the background, knock your head. But, you know, have grace, my people. I like it, man. It's got a very NPR vibe.
Oh yeah. Like, I need you to explain that. What does that mean?
Well, have you ever listened to like what is it? Mornings Get Eclectic.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Truly, that was for you, Julian. He's the only one who's going to be laughing right now. You don't even know what I'm referencing.
Nothing. I got nothing.
Yeah, you said yeah, and I said truly. It's anytime. All right, never mind. Yeah, but yeah, they play like kind of the like feel good vibey. This music kind of fits into that vibe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like it, and I would love I would love to talk to the cartoons. It has a very, to me, it's a very kind of like Jack Johnson, which I know is one of Rob's favorites. Like anyone on the, what is it? It's not, is it Brushfire Records? I think is his record label. I have to check that again. It definitely has that flavor to me.
I think the cartoons, based off of what I can gather, it seems like maybe they just create, or I think it might be just one guy. I'm not certain. I think he just kind of creates the beat, and like Ray Khalil just came in and like, I'll sing over this. And her voice sounds cool. I can feel the good vibes. It's all there. And Leo, I'm saying vibes as much as I possibly can for you, because I know that that is like your theme word behind music shows.
I think that's the word of the day for us, because I know we had that conversation about vibe. And when I was saying it initially, I was like, it feels very like I'm not being more specific about why I like that song as well as others. Mm-hmm. When I think of when we get to Led Zeppelin, I think that word applies even more than I thought the first time around.
We have to talk more about Zeppelin again. All right.
They're vibing bands.
they it, very lucky. Much so are. Lucky, you son of a bitch. You leave Martha O'Brien out of this. I didn't mean your mother is a bitch, Lucky. I'm calling you.
His name is Martha. His mother's name is Martha. Of course it is.
Invite her on, Lucky. I would love to talk to her, because she didn't teach you how to hit record.
She's not coming on. There's no way.
Martha's we'll see. Listeners. Please email us. Colton, what's our email?
What is our email? It is no.your.writes.podcast@gmail.com.
That's right. Listeners, please email us and let us know if you would like to talk with Martha O'Brien.
Or if you'd never like to hear her or Lucky again. We're open
Don't say
to
anything
vote
about
suggestions.
Lucky. What are you trying to do to me, Colton? I need the work.
Can I check in? Are we getting fan mail, Rob, before I get to my song of the week?
We did get a fan mail. That is right. So Jimmy in Texas wrote into us.
And what is this regarding?
This is regarding our Green Day episode.
Okay, that's right, because we were talking about the track Brain Stew, and the phrase that neither of us could figure out was, is it cross tops?
Or is it crotch tops? Or crotch chops is what I heard. And
so,
which again, I think it did sound like okay, it's masturbation,
which would be a very Green Day thing to do. We agree.
Very fitting, yeah. Very fitting. But yes, it's crosstops, and you and I, right when you corrected me, said, it's no rest for crosstops in my mind. I'm like, okay,
which neither of us actually knew.
So, what the hell is a crosstop? You know,
so shed some light.
Yes. So Jimmy in Texas, definitely not my old bass player, just a random listener. Decided to hit us up, and he said, "What's up, boys? Just finished a Green Day episode, and I'm enjoying the banter. Appreciate it."
Fair enough.
And then he said, "You said nobody ever even." I mean, he says crosstops were an over-the-counter methamphetamine substitute originally sold at truck stops that eventually the kids found out about, abused, and got it banned when the government found out. No rest for crosstops in my mind. They worked. Now we're just abusing Monster and Red Bulls. Anyway, looking forward to hearing more, and keep up the good work, your friend. Not Rob's old bass player, Jimmy from Texas.
That is, I love it. Thank you very much, Jimmy, for that, because and especially on that record, that's like a perfect reference, and it makes sense. Does that raise your estimation of that song?
Not at all. I still think it was the overrated song. Again, overrated's not bad, just not their best.
The more I think about it, though,
we'll see. You still have fun when you play the riff.
As everyone does. Now, I need to check with you, because I'm going to see if you've had time to think through your thoughts a bit more since Sunday. My song of the week that I sent to you was Stevie Stevens' "Will Anyone Ever Love Me." How are you feeling on that song? You weren't super high on it when I sent it to you before.
I am still in the same place. The lyrics are not good, man. It's one of those things to where, as anybody who listens to the show regularly knows, lyrics are not like the standout to me. The lyrics will stand out to me, though, if they're not good lyrics.
You are, on the whole, a feel kind of person. I don't agree in so much as I know in your own writing, lyrics are a big deal, and they work really well with what you're writing.
Yeah.
But I do always admire, and I do actually admire this, that you're able to channel more energy into the song in totality, where I, if I'm listening to something obnoxiously, I'm always zeroing in on lyrics. I think in a way, I was trying to be more like Rob when I listened to Sufjan Stevens.
Well, and fitting enough, the music sounds fine to me. It's just certain little lines. The pledge allegiance to my heart, to my pledge allegiance to my burning heart. That's not creative, man. It's not creative.
I'm not going to go to bat majorly for Sufjan Stevens. I do admire him as an artist. If you're unfamiliar, he is, especially at the beginning of his career, he is like a far more, I think of them as like whispery singer-songwriters, where there are others. I think Nick Drake is someone that I always think to as like kind of the your version of this. But it very much like finger picking, really light, sometimes double tracked vocals. I think Elliott Smith gets lumped into this. I don't know if he necessarily applies.
I don't think the two sound similar. And I think honestly, based off of his song, well, I don't know. I guess maybe they both still have darker sides.
Early Elliott Smith, especially, I think, was in this vein of really kind of light, whispery vocals. Although,
Elliott Smith, he hasn't released anything in years.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that guy. Come on.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace, dude.
Rest in power.
Rest in power.
I can't really defend a number of stuff with Sufjan Stevens. I know he's put out records that I think are like some of the best ones I've ever heard. I mentioned Terry and Lowell, which is the record he wrote about his parents and stepfather, which I think is, I know one of our friends, Alex, who was on this podcast, we both have a deep appreciation for that. This is his newest record. It's, I mean, there's a number of things. I know that his partner passed away recently and he's dedicated to this. So there's a lot of like lost love theme throughout the record. I think totally in agreement lyrically, not everything is a winner. Funny enough, this is maybe one of the weaker ones, but I do just have a love for his compositions.
Yeah. And I think that this song probably, it struck me as, based off of knowing that he has a reverence amongst the music community, like, this may just be kind of one of the more, I hate to use the term duds when it comes to the lyrics, but it just kind of felt that way. I want somebody to really love me for a reason, not just for sport. There was a better line. There was a better line somewhere out there. Now, don't get me wrong.
That part of the chorus, I think, is really powerful. Anybody ever love me?
Sounds very Moana-ish to me. I'm just saying. There's a Moana song that I just feel he got a little bit of...
Do you know, I keep thinking of, there's another song that has the somewhat similar lyrical value, although Sufjan Stevens is a far better lyricist than this person. It is John Mayer. Have you heard the John Mayer song, Why You Know Love Me? The song
because
goes,
I know
Why
he's
You
a...
Know Love Me. It is truly, tragically awful.
I'm going to fit in with the kids on this. That's cringe. That's cringe.
So I think compared to that, Will Anybody Ever Love Me is a lyrical monument. But I love that record, by the way. Javelin is the record, and I've been listening to it a lot. It's very beautiful.
I'll have to check it out because, honestly, Leo had it on their comeback episode. I'm like, this is actually not quite as terrible of lyrics. But yeah, just over the song sounds fine, but just the lyrics, I did try for you, Colton.
Proud of you, because now that the shoe's on the other foot, I'm looking at you and I'm just like, beautiful. He can't get past those bad lyrics in the chorus no matter what the other rest of the song is doing. I'm very proud of you. That is how I feel all the time.
But that song's written in the style of the lyrics have to be better to me, and I think he's earnest. I don't think he's coming from a fake place, just not quite as imaginative.
But that's always been that. I'm saying this, everyone, because I've played a lot of shows, because I was always put on like singer songwriter bills wherever I went. I was never playing with full bands, because for the most part, unless I was with my buddies, including Rob here, I was going to play by myself, and I was always with those really finger picky, very like low, sometimes beautiful voices, sometimes not, kind of whisper folk, very Iron and Wine. And that version of singer songwriter really boils my blood, and they're very nice people, so I shouldn't be that upset. But for exactly the reason you're saying, Rob, which is, to me, to sit in front of someone with an acoustic guitar, Like, you are not giving them a lot in terms of really anything. And so the very least you can do is give them music that, like, means something. And, like, the songwriter part of singer-songwriter, to me, you take fairly seriously. And so it always kind of grinded my gears that people would get by off of the, it's the appeal, the look, right, of that sensitive, folky, acoustic guitar person. I think Stephen Stevens, you could easily make that critique from early in their, his career. I think he's done a lot better since, but I
could
know
be
exactly
the case.
What you're saying.
I'm not as familiar, but yeah, if you just words like burning and falling. I think we've talked about this. We talked about falling with Alex, but there's just certain words that anyway,
real
just
talk.
burning heart. Come on,
real man. Talk. I want you to remember how you feel when you listen to the Burning Heart and how that bums you out when we get back into Led Zeppelin, because there are moments where I'm just like, man, it's cool, but what's going on?
The lyrics are not the driving factor by the time we hit this. That's where I can ignore some of the lyrics.
All right. So here's what I love about us being able
the
to do this
again.
The voice
is an instrument.
Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm scratching my forehead. No, this is good to get
it's,
out.
it's late. It's later in the evening. We're usually done by now.
I like it. I like the vibes. There's an eerier vibe around me. This is like old radio show at night in an abandoned station. What I loved about our conversation last time, and I like that we've gotten more time to think through it, is I think our central disagreement on Led Zeppelin, which, by the way, I enjoyed listening to Led Zeppelin. Yeah. Thank you for choosing these records for us to listen to, Rob.
Of course.
Very fun.
And the reason I chose it is because I didn't want us to do the entire damn thing.
Yeah. And I liked what you said before, and I agree. Not agree. I don't know. I don't know your life, but those four to you are your Led Zeppelin records.
This is like the real Led Zeppelin to me.
Yeah. I think I was kind of stuck on how to approach thinking about them, because for a lot of the four that I listened to, and I think when I started listening to Led Zeppelin I, I had this fear. I wasn't sure how to talk about them as songwriters, because to me, Led Zeppelin is an amazing band. And
yes,
like in a band for me, I attach words like musicality to that. I attach feel, groove, rhythm, right? All these things. But I don't always link it necessarily with songwriting. And some of that is, and I'm not necessarily even talking about the fact that they tend to cover people. But that's also true. I think you have a list of that, right?
I do have quite the list of it. I haven't accessed it in a few days because I didn't think I'd have to. I'll just keep bringing it back to that. They have a long list of songs that maybe some people might think are originals. But I think what we talked about before was I felt that there was a certain songwriting quality to the fact that they made their adaptations of these songs. They reworked it to kind of be in the Led Zeppelin vibe. And I know that you kind of didn't agree with that because you're like, they're just really good musicians. They just kind of get together and they can do this type of crap.
I think I'll always afford more of that admiration whenever there's a cover that works really nicely. It's hard for me to listen to that. And there are definitely covers out there where they far surpass the original, right? Like,
course,
I think there's a couple right off the top of my head, like All Along the Watchtower, right? Jimi Hendrix. And Bob Dylan even said, that's not my song anymore.
And you know that's what, Bob, you're totally wrong. All that happened on that, and this is, I'm probably only supporting you on this, Colton. All that happened on that is Jimi Hendrix soloed over All Along the Watchtower.
So, okay. Now, wait, let's pause here for a second. How is that different from, say, Dazed and Confused?
Because they add something new to it, like literally something new. They add a different rhythm section. They add moments to the song. If you listen to the what is his name, Jake Holmes version, Led Zeppelin made it their own. Like with Jimi Hendrix, he's guitar soloing over a Bob Dylan song. That's what's happening. The right. rest of the band is creating new elements to it. They're adding, I mean, we talked about this, but I mean, that screaming guitar on Dazed and Confused is just
really cool. Here's the thing, and me bringing it up is not me being like, oh, for Dazed and Confused. Like, that is very close to, sure, it. It's not my favorite, but that is very close to my favorite of these four that I heard. That, yeah, that high-pitched guitar overdubbed over, I was like, that is, and especially for when that was recorded, like, the feeling of doom and just, like, ominous vibe that comes out of that, it's amazing.
Oh, and just, yeah, absolutely. And just hearing freaking John Bonham come in with that drum fill and it's like, down, down. There's desperation almost in it. There's something like urgent, and I love the feel behind that. But I would say more something like Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You. Mm-hmm. If you listen to Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, the original version by Anne Bredon, ever since the previous one, I still don't know how to say her last name. But to me, like, her version sounds kind of like the Moldy Peaches. Mm-hmm. And you listen to what Zeppelin did with it, it's nothing similar to it other than lyrics. You know, they just kind of went like, these are really good lyrics. But that's not the whole song, Colton. It's not the whole song.
I think to say that, like, to me, like, that doesn't make them songwriters, that's not accurate at all, right? Because
that's exactly what you're saying.
In a podcast that is called Know Your Rights, not Know Your mm-hmm. Covers. But I'm not even trying to focus so much on just the covers. I think it's even like songs of theirs that I appreciate a lot. It's not always because to me it's like the songwriting is super tight. It is more so because they're able to create a vibe and an atmosphere, which for sure is a part of songwriting. I'm not even going to say that's not true. I don't recognize it as a higher level of songwriting like we've seen with other people that we both like, people we've even talked about on this podcast.
So there's a tier system behind the songwriting.
In a way, I guess. I don't know. It's funny. We go through these episodes, it's like I feel like I get deeper into a philosophy of how we even think about music.
Well, we always said at the beginning of this that we're probably going to learn more about ourselves than about the artist.
Definitely. But
I'm still waiting for it to happen. I haven't learned a damn thing. I'm the same person.
I've learned more about my ability to hit buttons and not hit them, which is fascinating.
Colton, quit trying to cover for Lucky. All right,
let's do this, because I do think I turned some corners, though. All of that being said, the past couple of days, I definitely came to realizations where I never didn't respect Led Zeppelin, but I definitely came to some slightly more forgiving opinions. That doesn't sound nice. I can't.
You sounded like you still hate Zeppelin.
I don't hate Led Zeppelin.
I got zero comfort out of that. I didn't get any idea that you grew.
We're going to start our categories. We're going to start with best song. And all now right. I feel I want to go first because I want to get it out there that I do like a lot of their songs. I love, and I listened to it again over this week. Mm-hmm. I freaking love Immigrant Song.
You know, and it surprised me just now. It surprised me just now because I never heard that. Yes, I will keep going back to this. But that really surprised me. The song's great. I think I told you, I was like, I would love to be a fly on the wall to where it's just Robert Plant going like, just give me a chance. Let me go in the vocal booth. I got an idea here. You know, when he hits that loud note that I'm not going to attempt. Yeah. Yeah. I still, it blows me away. I'm like, where did that come from? And to me, that's a songwriting element.
For sure. I mean, one of the reasons I love this song is this is that tight, like, I love some, like, those longer tracks they have, but this song is such a breath of fresh air, and it's such a great opener, right, on that record number three. Yes. I love the riff. I love the way when the bass kicks in, that low end. Boom, 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 boom. I love that rhythm.
They're really good at sharing the, like, we're both going to basically play the same thing and we'll just double each other up. And they do a great job of that sound.
It's great. It sounds amazing. Like, every track sounds amazing, but Immigrant Song, I think just the way everything feels so warm and buttery, those drums, I want to sink into, like, 70s production of drum mics. I
completely agree. The production quality on these four albums, and especially that song, just what happened to these tones? How did you guys do this? It's so good, and I feel like we're working with better equipment now. But it's just most of it's digital, I guess. The way we record, for the most part,
But I and
it's hard
I
to get your hands on analog style recording.
If only. But I just think to do that much in a song that I do believe is about 2 minutes and 26 seconds, really somewhere short. Along. Yeah. It feels like it should be longer because the scale of it is so big. And part of that is just like with Dazed and Confused, that they're able to add these like high notes to these like lower end things. It just gives it that bigger scale that I mean, God, it's amazing. And the lyrics, everything about it. I am here. I want this on the record for a previous for an upcoming category. I am definitely here for Dungeons and Dragons, Vikings, Led Zeppelin. Like, big fantasy nerd Zeppelin. I just let your freak flag fly. I'm ready
for
it.
Same goes for Lord of the Rings?
That's, well, I love Immigrant Song. And I love...
All right.
And I don't know. Like, I'd always remember that song. Of course, for me, it was that amazing scene in School of Rock when they're in the van.
Oh, yeah.
Such a great scene. But
I love it.
Hearing it, you just appreciate, like, again, the compactness of it. I am always a fan of a band that can take me a long ways in a short amount of time. And that's exactly what they do.
Well, go figure. I'm on the exact same page with length of song for my favorite song. You know, but sorry to Guitar Center employees everywhere. The best song by Led Zeppelin is Stairway to Heaven. I love Led Zeppelin. I love the works. I all four of these albums, great. Even if when we dive into something, if you were to dive into later albums, there's still tons of shit I love. Nothing is on the same page as Stairway to Heaven. Like, Stairway to Heaven was almost going to be my underrated song because I get so mad when people try it. And it's like, it's not cool to say that.
Well, right.
You listen to that song and tell me any moment that's bad. And I think I did this. It's not going to be as funny anymore. You know, they start with the song and then they take a step up with when the bass comes in. If nobody caught that, it's a pun. Dad humor, baby. That's right. And I said baby a lot. It's all coming back to me now. But even when the drums kick in on that moment is so cool. Oh, and then just that big... I could do the humming each part nonstop, but like that big moment when he just strums the chords and it's just okay. Guitar solo is coming and the rhythm change is just solid. I think the guitar solo is one of the best guitar solos out there, and some people have argued with me about that, but it's you can hear it, like it's legendary, it's memorable, it's reached that point. I'm not saying it's the most technically proficient guitar solo, but he kills it, and then it comes out and Robert Plant is fucking wailing, and nothing can beat a Robert Plant just hitting those high notes like an Immigrant Song.
Yep.
And then of course the legendary and She's Buying a Stairway to Heaven at the end.
I think in both cases, actually, even though they're very different in terms of the length, I think it gets to something that like a certain version of Led Zeppelin does super well, and that is scale. And just like creating that sense of just having a track feel bigger than it actually is, right? Just like there's some extra instrumentation there, right? They have some like woodwinds and things at the beginning.
Which but, I believe that's John Paul Jones getting down on some of that.
Right. But you know, that's the thing is I love that. I feel like when you listen to a track that is now trying to do the same thing that Stairway to Heaven does, and I feel like I'm just going to drag them for no reason. Whatever. Manchester Orchestra on their Simple Math
poor
record.
Andy.
When they did, like, when they brought in the orchestra and they wanted to make everything feel huge. And so it's like them with like however many people playing this huge orchestral backing, and it feels so bloated. And they're trying to make each song feel like it's epic and big and really something's at stake. And I'm always flabbergasted at Led Zeppelin's ability to give you that same thing, but it really is done through those core four instruments.
Oh, absolutely. Right? And it's effortless for them. You know, nothing against Manchester Orchestra, but I don't view the musicianship as on a similar playing field as Zeppelin. No. You know, this is minor leagues, which don't get me wrong. I love Manchester Orchestra. You know, Zeppelin fans.
They're not listening to this and going, how dare you?
Like, I'm just saying, if you're a Zeppelin fan who might have just stumbled upon this, maybe you could check out the Manchester Orchestra episode and you can see what I'm getting at here. Mm-hmm. But they're on a different plane where it's like they can kind of go in there and goof around and create it. Whereas Manchester Orchestra is going to be like, this is our focus.
Yeah. So, and here's where I want to make sure I make my amendment to what I was talking about previously with Led Zeppelin. Like what we're talking about, both these tracks, and as well as a number of others, like the songwriting that I like can recognize in them there, it's like really high, because it's that is definitely thinking with intention, right? Knowing what parts and how they work with each other, but also knowing in a song that long, how is it that you can keep people hooked and build things, add in different instruments at the right moment, switch up. Like I think with long songs too, to me, it's like a series of peaks and valleys. Like of how course. Many times do you take people? Do you do a gradual incline? There's so much thinking it has to go through the listener's experience that I really, really respect. I think what's interesting to me about Led Zeppelin though is throughout all four records, I don't necessarily sense as much an evolution as much as I sense they have different hats they like to wear. Like they'll be that big epic songwriter band.
Yes.
They'll be folksy, which I love folksy Led Zeppelin. And then they'll be like
guitar.
Like jam band blues Zeppelin. And jam band blues Zeppelin is my least favorite.
There's different worlds that Colt and I exist in. I love pentatonic blues guitar. That is the best guitar out there. And man, when they play some blues, now this is where I'll kind of concede. I don't view it so much as writing. And when you play the blues, because there is kind of a standard structure. I think I said, I would say that it's almost like sampling in hip hop.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like you find out how you want to utilize this thing. You know, with 12 bar blues, it's what you contribute to this chord functionality, which for everybody is basically 1-4-5. There's a lot of explaining there, but listen to a blues song, I think you'll understand what I mean, saying that they kind of follow a similar dum dum dum. And so I think it's just what they do with it. I think especially at the time, because I mean, we're listening with younger or newer ears, whereas back
my
then,
ears are young, thank you.
Yeah, there you go, there you go. But back then you probably would have loved that shit back then.
I think to me, and again,
introduce a lot of people to blues music.
Well, I recognize in terms of jamming, right? Like in our old band we were in, we jammed all the time, and not even just like at shows, we would just love to do it. And those are some of the moments I miss the most about playing in a band when you get a feel with other people, like with your instruments, and you're all kind of like not always, but at different moments, you find something that clicks and then you never get it again. This like ephemeral thing.
Yeah.
It is so cool. And there's so much that goes into that, including, I mean, musicianship, feel, knowledge of the other person. Like that is a 100% a skill, but I don't always recognize it though. It's the same kind of skill that is now time to create craft songs in a way that they do, like for example in Stairway to Heaven. It's different skill sets to me. It's definitely one where I feel like their gears are going on. So let's get now, because I feel like I dipped us into negativity. That's on brand. Fine. Let's get to worst song. And I went first before. I want to hear your worst song. It's changed, right? It has to have changed.
No. No. There's only one song by Zeppelin I don't like. Well, okay, off these four albums, because I mean, I would love to drag freaking No Quarter through the mud, but I'm not going to.
You heard it here first, people.
But no, I always forget the name of it because it's not a good song. Where are you here? Oh yeah, Out on the Tiles. It's not good. And you know what? When we talked about this on Sunday, I didn't really have much to say for the verse, because just when it hits the chorus, it seems so hair metally swagging back and forth, like, all I need is your love, all you need from me is my love. Shut up. That's bad lyrics. I don't think the melody is that good, but also even listening to the guitar riff during the verse, I think that's a like,
oh, that's like the good times number one on.
Yeah, good times, bad times. It's basically the verse for Out on the Tiles. It's a shittier version of that riff, And the chorus kicks in. I just don't like that song.
It's funny. I'm there for that song. I appreciate it, but I can see. I think in a previous conversation, you liken it to me as like where hair metal was going to go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In terms of the like that cheesy, real big open chorus. Right.
The chorus is just an excuse to get laid. I don't take anything from it. But I mean, I guess it's just rocking. It's fine. But I just don't like that song, man.
There is though, like
very intellectual, right? Everybody, my explanation.
Well, but I think Robert Plant has like I call it baby Led Zeppelin, where it's like very much in like a baby, a whole lot of love.
That wasn't bad.
Then there's a lot of like baby
love. I find you
love,
very sexy all
love,
of a sudden, Colton. That's
right?
Great.
I know, my long flowing mane that I have.
He's just wearing a vest right now.
There's the mystique of Zeppelin that I recognize, and that all kind of factors in. And I'm sure if you're watching them play, you know, Whole Lot of Love or Out on the Tiles live, it'd be like, oh my God, just like the power of what they're doing.
Sure.
It is for me in some of those times, like Robert Plant to me as a lyricist, I'm going to use the baseball parlance. This is actually very effective. It's kind of a dark spot for me right now, but I'm going to do it anyway.
It's been a month, dude. Get over it. The Dodgers, I got over the Orioles. I got over the Dodgers. It's been a month. It was yesterday for us. That's right.
It was last night. And
it was last night, everybody. But I shouldn't have even gotten. You said baseball, and immediately my head went there.
Robert Plant is a 225. He's batting seventh in the lineup. Mm-hmm. He starts the third inning. That's as a lyricist.
I would have pinched hit him over Colton Wong. Should I not? I'm sorry.
The fact that Colton Wong was on the we didn't get any. I am on the record in a previous podcast being upset that we didn't get enough starting pitching, that we got Lance Lynn, who did like three or four good starts to like the basement of the National League and everyone went crazy. Mm-hmm. And then when we got into the playoffs and it was like, wow, where's all of our starting pitching? Amazing.
I would have put, so just to bring it back, I would have had Robert Plant pitch for us, but lyrically I'm with you. Lyrically, he's not.
But when he's in the right place, like again, I think Stairway to Heaven, Immigrant Song. I think there are definitely moments where it almost feels like it's like inspiration, right? And it does feel like when he's trying to invoke a sense of scale, of epicness and that. But like baby, love Zeppelin it's lyrically, I do have to turn it off. And that's fine because everything else is going okay.
That's the thing, man. Like, and for that song, I guess people might listen to it and they're like, yeah, no, that's just a good rocking song. Robert Plant is wailing away. I can notice the lyrics. And what did I say before? If I can notice the lyrics, that's kind of bad.
So I'm glad that you said this because now
I take it all back.
Song,
I do not want to set you up.
You just said this perfectly for me.
Damn it.
My worst song, and this is actually okay. When I told you before that I felt like I dug my trench even deeper, it feels super deep, but I feel so clear right now. I think Battle of Evermore is one of the worst songs I've ever heard.
This is the first time I've heard this, everybody.
It's bad. Like, I feel crazy.
I have to allow you to vent. Go ahead.
It's fine. Everyone who's heard this, I want you to think about this for a second. You know that one thing, whatever it is, like a TV show, it's like a plate of food, something that you just can clearly see all of the flaws and everyone around you is just so, it's amazing. And then you feel like the loneliest person on the planet. I feel like I need to like hire a skywriter to go around the United States, even go over to Europe where people are Led Zeppelin crazy. Yeah. It's a Battle of Evermore is really not great. Like that skywritten into the sky.
The plane's gonna get shot down. Don't wish that upon anybody.
Here's the thing.
By the government, too. It won't be like...
it'll be like, this is a strategic strike. We have
to... The world will agree. Like, this is going to bring world peace. Like, we got to get rid of this Skywriter. So basically, Battle of Evermore is coffee for me. Like, it's your coffee.
Exactly.
I have no idea how coffee is good to anyone.
Yeah. And so then I can appreciate how it feels to love coffee and be like, how does he not like coffee? Here, the only difference is in this one instance, I'm right and everyone is wrong. So clearly. The Queen of Light took her bow and then she turned to go.
That's fucking great. Prince
of Peace embraced the gloom and walked the night alone. Oh, dance in the dark of night. Sing to the morning light. The Dark Lord rides in force tonight. And time will tell us all. Oh, throw down your plow and hoe. Rest not to lock your home. Side by side we wait the might of the darkest of them all.
Okay, now can you please read a Immigrant Song with that same tone of voice?
I'm getting to me it's rhyme construction, right? It's how you set up rhymes to things to make it feel natural. And this is it's meant to be posed as a kind of like folklore ballad. Mm-hmm. I get that. I'm going to do this flex one more time. I've studied early modern ballads. I've performed and worked with some of them, right? Ones you're talking about, like
the Lucky, was that why you didn't? Did you hit stop record after Colton said I'm going to flex?
I gagged him. I'm so mad at him. I put tape over his mouth. He's not kidnapped. It's not a kidnapping per se.
We all heard him in the background, Colton. This is really bad. Users, please email the police. Lucky.
Don't email the police. What's Sting gonna do? Sting's got nothing.
Exactly.
That was a very Rob joke. I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have interrupted you. You were making a
reason. Thank you for that. It's the mandolin. It is the
beautiful instrument.
The lyrics that are, there's so much mandolin and it drones. It
builds upon itself.
And you're not, if you're going to do that with the mandolin, it doesn't. But if you're going to do that, you have to take me somewhere the lyrics that is lyrically engaging. You're setting like the scene of this epic fantasy war that's going to be happening, but you're actually not doing it in a way. It's like trying to paint this scene, but the colors you're using are like, I don't know, like neon pink and then black. Yeah. They don't work.
I get that. Just medieval, Middle Earth vibe from the song. Hey.
But imagine if they approached this with the same kind of nuance as they did with Stairway to Heaven. I'm not saying full band, but I'm saying like in terms of like dynamics.
I feel like they were writing from the same place.
You can't believe that. There's no way you believe that.
The songs are right next to each other on the exact same album.
And that's what makes it even worse. That is right before, like, it's embarrassing to me that they decided to put it there. And it doesn't make sense. Like, in that record, which that record goes a lot of different places, and mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. But that song.
You don't sound like you were fine with it, but all right.
Well, yeah. That song specifically drives me crazy that's there. It's so nerdy in like a really embarrassing way. I want to shove it into a locker. Yeah,
as long as you give the rest of the world who likes that song the code to that locker or like a key to that locker. And
I don't believe there's people that like the song. I've never met them. Listener, if you like the Battle of Evermore and you can say anything you want, I've never even heard you mention. I didn't know the song existed for 35 years. I didn't know the song was there and I was happy. And you never mentioned it.
Vinyl I ever played by myself. This was on. And that was a huge moment to me. Oh,
war is the common cry. Pick up your swords and fly. The sky is filled with good and bad. Mortals never know. Oh, mm-hmm. Like the apples turn to brown and black. That's the one I love the most.
That's describing what's happening to the apples.
How would you get to know otherwise?
All right, I got
sorry,
you.
Everybody.
We come from the land of the ice and snow. From the midnight sun where the hot springs flow.
Better. Do you not see how that's better?
I do not see how that's better. Hammer of the gods will drive our ships to new lands to fight the horde, sing and cry.
Here's the thing. With the way for me to best explain this is with Immigrant Song and other songs at work, he fills it with action. Right.
Well, you notice I stopped. I did stop to where I was like, this is actually getting kind of good. I'm going
to
stop.
When you're going to set me like a fantasy thing, put it in action, right? Put it where things are moving. Give me subjects and predicates that are putting things in movement. Nothing moves in Battle of Evermore. He is describing
the mandolins
like,
do.
It is like his an author trying to does. Set the scene, right? The backdrop before mm-hmm. you get into what actually occurs. But that's all it is. It is. No. Okay, I'm actually done. I don't want to talk about it.
Quote the Colton, I hate Battle of Evermore.
All right. I want to start my underrated because this is where I'm back in. I'm back in the game. And this is, I believe, right after Stairway to Heaven. My underrated is a song when I heard it.
I like the way that we discovered what your underrated was on Sunday.
I loved about listening to it is like at different points in listening to Led Zeppelin, I was having like moments where I was like, I get it now. I get how, for example, I always read that Led Zeppelin was like one of the big originators of like heavy metal, right? Mm-hmm. Alongside, I know you mentioned this to me before, Black Sabbath, yeah. Right? Where, and with Led Zeppelin, when I heard like Dazed and Confused, I totally got it, yeah. Right? That really low bass sound. When I heard Misty Mountain Hop, I hear alternative music. Like I hear even like some like the Cars. I hear like bits of like Modest Mouse, like that really kind of quirky melody going over that guitar that's just like a bit angular. Everything's kind of opens a bit into the chorus. And even the subject matter to me, it was so different. It was so fresh.
Yeah, and I'd love to legalize pot in the park.
Oh. I was walking and
And it's funny, the way you just sung that doesn't make it sound cool. How you did it. I was walking in the park one day.
Well, and to go back to what you mentioned before, where Robert Plant's voice is the fourth instrument, and I think at different times, like he can use it to do the obvious thing, but the obvious thing in like a really amazing way. But when he's using his voice and melodies in a way that like I don't expect, that to me is where Led Zeppelin is the most exciting. Like I'm not always excited, but I'm entertained. But when they do stuff like Misty Mountain Hop, I'm like, I'm in. And I didn't even know the song existed. So I feel like I've just like discovered, you know, I don't know, like this sunlight. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Midnight Sunlight.
Midnight Sun. That's right.
Midnight Sunlight. Valhalla, we are coming.
That's so cool. Like
it is, but I sincerely liked Battle of Evermore before this conversation. I still love Battle of Evermore.
He hates it. Everyone. You know, he's looking somebody at me. Who his loves eyes Battle. Are telling me. If you love Battle of Evermore, besides my friend Robert, email us. Tell us you love it.
The Battle of Evermore too.
Lucky doesn't. He's never heard that song in his life. Lucky, all I've seen from you is Flogging Molly CDs.
Whatever you say, Colton, just let me go.
Very on brand. That is.
Anyway.
All right. So what is your underrated? Thank you for that.
That's the way. I have a huge list. And the last time when we reached a underappreciated song, I ran through the whole thing with Colton. There's so many good songs. I'll just name the one that I remember Colton making a face at me. Ramble On is a really, really good song. You kind of have that same face. Yeah.
That, I don't know. Now it kind of hurts. I can't do it anymore.
Better. Better. But yeah, no, That's the Way is beautiful. Let's let it play for a second.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they went to Bron Eaur. I don't know if I say that correctly. I would ask Lucky, but he's going through some things. Could it be you found another game to play? What did Mama say to me? That's the way.
Oh, that's the way it ought to be. I'm in love with this song. It's
so beautiful. And you know what? It's funny what you said about your underrated song. I forgot because I just didn't care. I let it wash over
Misty
me.
Mountain.
I'm still not over Battle of Evermore. No.
That's fair.
But yeah, no, this was a song that I kind of forgot about it. You know, and all of a sudden it kicks in with, you know, a very familiar folky sound from Zeppelin, especially at the end of this particular album. Mm-hmm. But man, just even when it hits the chorus, I love the doubled vocals, you know, and just the way the guitar is playing over it. Everything feels good. And it's just supposed to be a song about like trying to live simpler. And it's kind of like, you know what? We've had a falling out, but I got to escape this. I got to go for something easier and nicer.
Yeah. And it's
so beautiful.
I think what makes that song so great is the same reason why I think for both of us, like our respective best songs were so good, which is like the, and again, where I believe they're just like really amazing songwriters is like having a kind of like bass, like that guitar at the beginning, that like side boom, 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 which I think has got to be an alternative tuning, right?
It probably is.
So it's got, like you mentioned, like there's a lot of Zeppelin folk songs that have a similar kind of skeleton, but they melt into it. And everything is so, it's just like a warm blanket. And when he comes in, like the melody is perfect. It's not trying to do too much. And I think the best kind of folk for me that's in this vein, at least, it's so comfortable. And it's not trying to stretch further than it needs to. And it's like so contemporary, even though it's not, right? Yeah.
And amazing. The only thing that makes me feel bad about calling this my underrated song is there's really no John Bonham on it. That's my only regret for my decision, but that song's beautiful.
Yeah, I don't even know where I was supposed to put this in, but I had like, because we listen to so much Zeppelin, I get like random like algorithmic now invasions in like my different stuff. Like now YouTube thinks I love Zeppelin, and now Reddit is giving me all the Zeppelin subreddits. And someone posted like I can't remember who wrote this like rock and roll memoir about life like in the 70s in the US. And one of the stories was about hanging out in Los Angeles in the 70s and John Bonham being this really angry, mean drunk that like used to pick on people.
You know, he got really upset because it was probably like Rolling Stone or something, or some sort of music publication. And he came in second as greatest drummer on the planet.
Who was number one?
I want you to try to guess.
Was it Buddy Rich?
Female.
Female drummer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I have it in my head.
I don't think you do.
Yeah.
Karen Carpenter.
Huh.
Have you ever seen her get down?
Probably not enough. No. Rich is at the top for me. Funny enough, I'm not going to list my favorite drummers right now, but I have to do more of that.
Well, you said he's at the top for you. I think you know who's at the top for me, just not on Fear Inoculum. Okay, he kills it. He's still Danny Carey, but anyway.
We're coming, people. We're coming for Fear Inoculum. It's going to happen.
I'm definitely coming after it.
All right. This was great. I think it's time to get to Overrated. Again, I think with my Overrated was hard because I had a number of ones that I was thinking through. And a lot of it for me is it's the Zeppelin where it's like they are like kind of rock and roll, like capital R, where it's definitely there. But this song specifically, when I listen to it, like it's actually like a physically like not pleasing experience. It's Black Dog. And what I know about this song, and I'm talking specifically about the signature change that the stringed instruments are doing, right? Because I know the drums are in 4/4. That's you such a good word. When I listen to that, when it goes, when it turns, right?
Yeah.
They just sound off to me. And I have researched this.
Yes. Yep.
I know that it's what, like a 15/4?
Sure, whatever people want to say. I think it was just like an in-studio kind of hiccup that they recovered from.
But they do it every time. They do it every time.
They learn from it. You know, Colton, you do realize you're listening to the same track. Every time you listen to it, it's still the same track.
No, but I'm saying every time in that. Oh, my God, Rob, you could drive it crazy.
I know. I'm sorry. The recording just sounds the same every time I listen to it.
I'm not going to get this guy's name. I apologize. There's a guy who was like randomly on like a YouTube, one of those short YouTube videos. And he was walking through Black Dog. And because someone is trying to explain the riff that they're doing there and how hard it is. And he was like, yeah, it was so hard that they couldn't do it really. They had trouble playing it. And when he played it over that drum track, the 4/4 drum track, I heard it and it was smoother. I mean, I'm not saying he's like a better whatever. All I'm saying is when I hear it played correctly, it makes sense. And it hits my ear so wrong.
Well, and that's why I said it might have been like a slap studio situation, because I love Jimmy Page. Great guitar player. But he has like a little bit of slop to him, and I love that sludge. And just, I mean, he can riff it up. I mean, he can go fast, but I love how he can just kind of be loose and almost off the beat and on the beat. But that part has, the first time I heard it, I remember I was kind of like, wait, what?
I think
the rest of the song, I think, is gold. Gold.
Like, I love me some slop. Put that on the front of this podcast. I wish we
had a drop button to where I can just start using that in the future. Just whenever you say some opinion about, like, the song just isn't perfect enough, and it's just gonna be like, and I love me some slopping. Rob, stop.
I love, like, you know, pops on the fretboards, right? Mm-hmm. Like snips,
yeah.
Cracks.
The natural sounds, yeah.
But I think when it's a rhythm issue, I know we've talked about this, Kevin Devine on Between the Concrete and Clouds, which Led Zeppelin fans are like, who? What are we talking about? There's we both know there's a track where the drums get off the beat with everything else. And it takes me out of everything.
I remember you and I discussing, like, how did he not fix it? What was the rationale to not going back? Like, let's do the drum beat one more time. He must have just been up against the wire. I have to finish right now. And I'm pretty sure it's him on drums.
We've been in studio situations, and by some, I mean every time we've been in any kind of recording situation where we catch, it's a disease that we've started to call it the fuck it's, where the it's just, it's, you know what?
It's good enough. It's fine.
8 o'clock.
I cannot hear somebody tell me it's fine after I record anything. That was fine. No, that means it's not the take, or it means that maybe that is the highest I can reach is fine.
Yeah, everything is just fine. Yeah. And if I was only going to say I feel like it's overrated for that, that's not true. It's also, and I get it, it's about a dog.
It's about a dog. I was just about to say it's about a dog. That's why
the
you
fact
don't
that
like
it's
it.
About a dog and it's called Black Dog is annoying to me.
I don't think it's about a dog. I think it's kind of named in honor of the black lab that was wandering around.
But I love how, like, he's like, that dog, and then he was like, oh, I'm going to call it Black Dog, and then that's what it's called. I don't know. It's just very, like, it's a rock and roller, but it's also, there's no substance to it.
But that's something I've always loved about Zeppelin. I love the callback between the guitar and the vocals. Now, granted, that one's not quite the same way as, you know, in other songs where it's like he'll play a guitar solo or a guitar lick, and then Robert Plant will go like, I can't do anything even remotely Robert Plant, but he'll do kind of that. But I think it's rocking. But that one part, I can understand why you just had to go with overrated. You didn't go worse on
overrated, not worse.
Yeah,
we don't have to go back there again. That's
if I had to play one right now, I would. Okay, all right.
Oh Lord, what is your overrated?
Well, here's the thing. I'll say it really quick, but because I do remember what we came to the conclusion on Sunday, my overrated is A Whole Lot of Love. I'm so sorry to everybody who might think that that's blasphemous. But the song really doesn't go anywhere. The hook of the song is a guitar being played in reverse, sounding like Doppler effect for a guitar driving past you.
Sounds like a cat falling down a well.
And I do remember the first time hearing it, thinking that was really cool. Like, what's that sound? How is he doing that? And then when I found out, it's like, oh, it's played in reverse. So how do they do it live? They just don't do that part, and the song keeps going. I'm like, okay, so it does that, and then it has this long musical breakdown with John Bonham doing a cool little drum thing, and then they go, I think it should be called Doppler Effect.
It's, and again, it's like that, like, very, like, baby love, like, frame where it's there. I think, to me, like, those versions of Zeppelin, I think the reason it rubs me the wrong way is it's got, like, a very kind of, like, hyper masculine energy to it that I don't always kind of, like, hits me the wrong way. And I want to point this out because this is cult, like a come to Jesus moment for me. There's a song that I have written that I look back now, and it's one of my least favorite, if not my least favorite song that I've ever recorded.
You're comparing this to your come to Jesus moment. Colton Saylor song.
No, what I'm saying is this is my realization from
Seek
Sunday
redemption
that
Colton's
I had to realize.
Song, or, sorry.
Yeah, which is issues I have with, like, A Whole Lot of Love and that. Like, I had a song called Oh That Woman that is focused on a riff that I had, and I was trying to help build something out. Rob, feel free to put Oh, That Woman in.
I will.
I'll sell you the rights to it. That's
if you can sell me the rights. I already kind of have them.
You basically have them. Robbie probably
I'm on the same damn album.
It's I think lyrically,
original music by me too. I don't lyrically think you remember that was a split. That
and that was the worst song on that split. I know it was.
You're so wrong.
Crazy. I'm trying to do something where I'm somewhat ironically, but also very not ironically. I'm trying to take up that same kind of guys, and it's so not right coming out of me. And when I listen to it now, I'm like, I don't like it. Oh, that woman, she wants too much love. Like, what is going on? I don't know. So I think.
Because she gets lonely, something. I don't come to see her enough.
I think what I heard something over the week where someone said, like, we tend to criticize things that we recognize in ourselves. And I totally get that. So
that's fine. That song, I think, is really cool. And I think I liked it because it had a little bit of a almost Zeppelin-y Black Sabbath.
Had a little edge to it.
Yeah. Bluesy.
Have you ever seen the film It Might Get Loud?
Can I break this to you? I have not seen a whole bunch of films. Like movies that people would expect you to have seen, I haven't seen.
Let me get out in front, though. I have not seen the whole thing.
Okay.
But I was aware when it was coming. This is from 2008. This was like a conversation that was filmed like a documentary between The Edge, Jack White.
Oh, God. Jimmy Page. I have seen. Okay.
So
I didn't
you
know.
Have seen.
When you said movie, I don't think of that as a movie. Okay.
It is from what I've watched, and for people who have seen it, enjoyed it, that's one thing. The Edge, I like The Edge. I
don't
like
view him as Edge. I don't view him as a great guitar player. I think he does what he's supposed to do.
I think like early U2 that I really like I really love what he does because it's that great kind of atmospheric, you know, guitar stuff that he does. Anywho, this isn't what that's about. Jack White
no,
is
no,
a person.
I want to talk about Joshua Tree.
Jack White is a person that plays guitar that people just decided was this rock god that drives me crazy.
I still think the riff in Icky Thump is pretty cool. But
he's a poser.
That's fine.
Like,
poor guy.
But,
it keeps coming
but
into this.
There's a scene where Jimmy Page is playing the riff to A Whole Lot of Love, and both of them are just looking at him with like these like
stars in their eyes.
Oh, like slack. Oh,
I have seen it. There's what I saw from that, and this will just fit in to your I hate Jack White.
Yeah,
there he's showing how he came up with Seven Nation Army, and at one point in time it is those three standing up playing that riff all in unison together, like it's the coolest thing that's ever been written on guitar. And like when they finish, the crowd's going nuts, and Jack White naturally says, "That'll cost all of you $5 we're just dragging him through the mud.
Oh Lord.
Where were we? Oh yeah, we came to the conclusion, though, that both of us are wrong on underrated song. I'm sorry, we were both wrong about overrated song.
Yeah.
It's Moby Dick.
It is.
Through natural conversation last Sunday, we kind of came to that conclusion. I wanted to just say it right away just to kind of, like, you know, shave some minutes off of the podcast.
I totally agree with you. I don't know if we agree for the same reason. Because when I heard Moby Dick, first of all, I was excited because when I see a track titled Moby Dick by Led Zeppelin, I'm ready for, like, because I didn't know this existed, and I was set. And the opening riff, I know you were very underwhelmed by. I was too. It's very, like doesn't have to be there, right?
Yeah, there's a reason that vocals aren't coming. Drum solo. And then when he finishes that drum solo, which, I mean, he's technically proficient. He's getting down.
No one should ever put a drum solo onto a CD. Like, don't record drum solos.
I've told you before, I will upset you on that statement, and I'm going to kill you if you say the song that does have a drum solo from a similar time frame shouldn't be there. You're wrong. But it's another day.
I know, and this is a Beatles thing.
Exactly. I was going to say, I know that there are listeners right now going like, amen, Rob. Amen.
As someone who has like a deep love for the drums, it's always going to be my first love in terms of music. Mm-hmm. I also, and my love for drums is for like service to the song, is for groove, rhythm. I listen to a lot of jazz where there are drum solos in jazz that like when you're listening to like a live recording and like the band's kind of giving the drummer a minute to cook and then they come back in and it just feels so frenetic. That's cool, but drum solos to me always sound a little ridiculous.
in this instance, it is. And like I said, I think John Bonham, he's getting down, but I think you're right, because guitar is kind of my first love. Like, just listening to the riff, I'm going, I can see why they just went like, John, you want to just, we'll give you like 5 minutes, we'll go have a cigarette, and then by the time we're done with the cigarette, give us kind of a cue.
You can be impressed by like the sticking, by the like, I mean, really, it's like a bunch of fills, right, that people really playing, and like the rhythms of it. But at some point, yeah, every drum solo starts to feel like Animal just playing drums.
Yeah. To be completely fair, outside of jazz, if I'm seeing a live show and it's time for it's like, hey, everybody give it up for whoever on drums, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah. I think this is my chance to like use a restroom. Let me go and maybe get like some chips or something.
Let's go do anything else, because no other instrument is going to, like, there's not going to be a guitar solo and then everyone else leaves to go do something. I think
however,
bands
I would
invented
love
drum
to...
solos because we hate drummers.
Yeah, that could be the case. I would love to see a band just let the bass player go off alone.
I saw that once.
That probably did happen, because all of a sudden I thought I'm like Stu Hamm. How am I forgetting? He's probably one of my favorite bass
Victor
players.
Wooten?
Yeah, Victor Wooten. Yeah, they probably have had those moments, but that's because they can do multiple things all at the same exact time.
I saw a bass player left on stage while the other members went out for like to do whatever, but this was like at a like outside music festival at a college that I was randomly, I think, touring that day. And it was literally him just playing like root notes and was standing there. And I thought I was having a fever dream. I was so confused. And
pretty cool.
And he looked confused. He looked like he didn't know where his band had gone.
I wish it was on purpose. I wish he didn't look confused. I wish he looked confident. Just foot up on that monitor.
So shout out to that random band who I don't know who they were. I think it's time to get to, let's start with worst album. Okay. And we'll let you go first, buddy.
Worst album. I'm sorry, just because you said I'm going to let you go first. I feel like I'm being set up here.
My hope is you've changed your mind.
I guess. No, you know what? I haven't. It's Led Zeppelin 3, because there's only one song I don't like in all four of these albums. It just ruins the rest of the album for me. I don't dislike any of these albums, so that's my only place I can come from on it.
I get it. I think, and maybe in a way, no, that's not true, because Led Zeppelin 4 is not my worst Zeppelin album.
Yeah.
Even though it has a song I hate, I guess hate's the right word there to use.
That's, you know, honestly, everybody, that's kind of the best I can say, or the worst I can say about that album, because that album is so, I can't remember. Is that your favorite?
Oh, it is. Yeah. Led Zeppelin 2 or 3.
I feel like it's a little mean to say that one, because I know that is a good album, but I don't dislike any song from any of the other albums. So that just has to be the millstone. That's just pulling it down.
Yeah. And I do think we had a similar issue when we talked about Erykah Badu, where when you have a certain artist where like there seems to be a consistency going across the records you're looking at, it does become a little bit difficult. And I mentioned this before, and this isn't meant to be an insult, but it's not like from record to record, Led Zeppelin just completely switches up their game and does something new. Like, do see some like changes in terms of there's less of those like more modern sounding rock songs in that first album than there are in the future ones. But for the most part, they have their spots where they're going to pick some blues Zeppelin, some folk Zeppelin, some like just kind of more heavy rock. And they tend to just kind of meter those out over the course of these four albums. And I guess it makes sense because they were written relatively close together.
Well, especially the first two, Led Zeppelin 1 and Led Zeppelin 2. I mean, those are written.
Both 69, right?
Well, here, let's, because since that's all I can really say, and I know we're going to elaborate further on this album.
Let me say then, my Led Zeppelin worst album is 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not even because I dislike every single song on this record. I think it's more, it's the vibe of it that isn't there on those other ones. It feels, and maybe it's also like this idea that it was written in the same year as Led Zeppelin 1. It feels like they could have taken those two and made one record that would have been amazing.
Cool little double album thing.
Yeah, or... even cut some and put some other ways out. I think as a record, and for me, when I put in best and worst album,
what are we cutting here? What are we cutting?
Moby Dick, number one. All right. Thank you. I love Thank You. I've Thank mentioned that to you before. Yeah. I know. I think I texted you that.
Yes. Yes, you did. And it was basically you just saying, like, I love folk Zeppelin and Blue Zeppelin to be at the bottom of the ocean.
That's not what I said.
No, you didn't. But he said it should be on the surface of the sun.
Those first three on Led Zeppelin 2, Whole Lot of Love is fine. Yeah. Right. Overrated. Yeah. I think it's right to call it overrated. Mm-hmm. What Is and Should Never Be and The Lemon Song, both of those together, I am lukewarm on.
I love it.
They're not my favorite.
I love both those songs to death. I love those songs.
Living, Loving, Made, by the way, that's like when I heard that, that's where I had my, oh my God, I wrote a Led Zeppelin song and like not like a good Led Zeppelin song. I wrote this song. And it's again, it's got that kind of cheesy machismo that it always hits me the wrong way.
Wait, which song?
My song?
Yes.
That woman.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Truly.
She's just a woman. The whole thing. It's a very.
Oh, see, this is again where you dive into a lyrical conception. And in my head, I'm just going like, those two songs don't sound anything alike to me.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not riffing like Paige.
Yeah.
A whole lot of woman. That's not happening. But it is. I think that whole record to me is kind of characterized by a lot of like baby loving. Got that. Oh, baby, baby, baby.
Colton, you're really good at it. I love hearing that. Do some more of that. Nobody wants to hear your
voice.
People want to hear the blues, Colton. We're done with folk, Colton. Give us some blues, Colton. I'll start coming up with some riffs for you.
I think the Zeppelin on these other records go to more interesting places thematically and with music too. Two to me is flatter. So,
but that album is it was made basically on the road while touring. They made it at different studio locations, so I can see how it doesn't feel like part of the same piece.
But also that makes total sense that it's an album written while touring, because that's like when you're like playing a lot with people and you're really kind of more in rhythm with them. It feels like an album where that took more of that center stage.
Yeah.
And everything else is kind of, the lyrics are there, the vocals are there, but they're not as present as, for example, my favorite record of Zeppelin and these four. And that's your least favorite. It's Led Zeppelin 3.
Which, again, me saying least favorite is not really saying
you hate
much
it.
I hate
your face right now is just
folk. What is this? Nobody wants to hear about Led Zeppelin on a retreat.
It's just
some nice small town in Wales.
When I look at this track listing,
I won't even look at it.
And especially in that second side, Gallows Pole, which, by the way, Gallows Pole is like very, it is the version of Battle of Evermore that works.
It's a really good, well, okay.
It's got like a folky kind of minstrel vibe to it.
Oh, that's right. That you like Battle of Evermore because you're like the only person who says that. Okay. Sorry. It's so easy to forget.
And I have to thank you for this. You showed me Tangerine. Mm-hmm. I love Tangerine.
It's a beautiful song.
That song is, it's amazing. I think that song is perfect. That was almost my favorite. I didn't want to give you the benefit of that to be like, well, now it's my favorite song.
You just did. You just did.
There's a universe.
Lucky where even heard it.
I gotta loosen that tape. I think that's not great for him.
Anyway,
there's a universe where they decided to be just a folk band. That personally, like, I am like, I'm in for it.
Oh, I know. And the real sad thing is, in that universe, you are just like leather with freaking spikes coming out of it, just metalhead.
I'm like, why are you like folky Led Zeppelin? I hate
it's terrible. You should check out. I mean, I guess Battle of Evermore is cool.
Give me your favorite album, Rob.
It's 4, and it probably does fit in with kind of the memory that I have behind it. And it's, you know, it almost fits into what I said about Stairway to Heaven. These just are the best albums. Now, I know that you have some things to say about a particular song on here. And also, you didn't like to much on Black Dog, too. Jeez. So So you hate mandolin, you hate dogs.
You know, there's another track, and I really want you to be able to cook more on this. I like Misty Mountain High. I like Stairway to Heaven. I love rock and roll. Like, we didn't talk about it enough, but the drums, like, I wish rock and roll started that record, because the drums at the beginning of rock and roll,
really good.
You wouldn't, if you're not thinking, if you haven't played drums before and you're just kind of listening to it, what he does is it's so weirdly unique.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
When it starts, you kind of start nodding your head to it. And then when the band kicks in, you're like, whoa, okay, I was off on the rhythm, but it sounded so much like it was perfect. And then you listen to it again. It's like, oh, Bonham.
It's brilliant. It fits like a perfect puzzle piece. But you're right. It's that great kind of drum beat where it like takes you one way and then almost jerks you back. And it's such a cool experience, though, because it's all still in rhythm.
Yeah. And I do have to go back to the sap on this. Like my dad always told me when I was sitting in my little... You know, like little baby Rob, which, as you can imagine, cute as hell. Cute as a dickens. I mean, that is
you were cute.
I was an adorable baby. But I'm just sitting there back in my car seat, and that song's playing, and he just looks in the rearview mirror, and it's just me, like, nodding my head. And he always told me, he was like, that's when I could tell you were going to love music. And, I mean, kind of calling your shot a little early there, Dad. But you know what? You were right. You were right. I definitely did end off loving it. But, yeah, that's just that song has a special place in my heart.
It's amazing. It really is. And I love that story. I want to frame that story. On that note, going to California, talk to me about that song again. Why do you like it?
It's pretty. I think last time you said that it was like that was the one that was discarded from Zeppelin 3. Like we've had enough of the folk stuff. This is the least best one. But I think it's great. And I think the reason you dislike it is because when it hits that, I couldn't even tell you the lyrics because hold on, let me look up the lyrics really quick. It seems that the wrath of the gods got a punch on the nose and it's starting to flow. I think we might be sinking. Like that little moment, it's got a little bit of an Evermore.
It's I do think
a little dark, it has a little bit of that fantasy song. Element to it. I love it.
I looked it up because I was interested in learning more about it. I know that part of it is written about I can't remember, it's like their producer and one of them, they were going to California and there was an earthquake. And so that verse specifically is written about an earthquake. And I think some of it was also written about, I want to say, Joni Mitchell.
That could be.
I believe. Wait, let me double check this. Yeah, it was. Paige referenced Joni Mitchell when it says, "To find a queen without a king, they say she plays guitar and cries and sings, la, 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 la." That's like I'm not even saying lyrically, I think it's weak. Because I do think like when he's describing the earthquake, right? When he's even getting, that's very like American Pie to me too, to bring up that like queen without a king.
I love that the bright guitar or the bright rhythm section going into that kind of minory when it hits I like that.
That's what
transition.
I don't like. I think that's what bothers me.
Yeah, you think it's too forced?
It feels very composed, like in a way that, it's like trying to squeeze in this kind of moment of drama. I'm not always a huge fan. Like, it's not like I'm like, you play in major, you'll go to minor. What's wrong with you? Like, I get the power of it. But at that point,
he's going to California, earthquake happens.
Oh, no.
Come on. This is songwriting 101. Did you miss that class? You just dive into songwriting 102. I don't even know what followed. 201.
Major.
Is it 201?
Only major. 201. Yeah, I went to 201. Graduate studies. No, and I'm not even saying I hate that song, but it is of like folk Led Zeppelin. It's in the bottom tier for me. Also, his melody, like his other melodies in folk Zeppelin are so gorgeous and beautiful. And this one, and you know what it is? It feels very Avett Brothers.
I thought you liked them.
I do like them, but
okay,
it feels very that way. I'm saying that, but it's like, don, 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 don,
don, don. Sing it, Colton. Oh, yes.
That melody is
beautiful. Beautiful, Colton. That sounded
great.
It's
very plotting. Anywho, this is me trying to shit on your favorite album. Please say more about why it's great.
I think I've said enough. It's, okay. It's, yeah, I got mine in.
Got God, when the sun goes down, I get real like, ugh.
And I get more apathetic. I'm just like, fuck it, dude. I said my prayers.
Whatever, man.
I'm still worried about Lucky.
He hasn't actually moved in a while. I'm going to take that tape off.
There you go. You didn't put over his mouth and his nose, did you?
I mean, I'm not
going to. Listeners, email us if you would like for Lucky to have perished or to hear more about Lucky.
Yeah, we need to take a poll on
this. Is a, what is it? Choose your own adventure.
Choose your own podcast. What other wacky voices are we going to do on Know Your Rights?
Where is me Lucky? Martha, are you here? I can't believe what
I'm not doing. I'll, this.
I will
I'm
talk to Colton. It'll be
Martha doesn't exist. The cake is a lie. All other things.
You have her son tied up.
And we have to
she
give,
doesn't exist.
We have to give points. Give me your okay. Your 1 out of 10 rating of Led Zeppelin albums 1 through 4.
Because they flew on that big jet plane that they called Airship, their luxury liner in the sky, and it was a 720, I believe a Boeing 720. I'll give them a 7.2. Yeah, just that's, because of that. I probably should rate them higher, but I have to just go with. I mean, do our rankings really matter? I mean, they do. They do. I'm sorry, everybody.
I think, I don't know, it's hard because I know we've had this conversation before in previous episodes. I always get a little bit like, I don't know. Like, I'll always forget what I've given certain bands. Yeah. I do appreciate, though, that it gets you to really consider looking at the albums we've talked about as a whole.
Mm.
What do they add up to, right? Both the good and the bad. How does it average up in your head?
That's a
I
good
can
point.
Get a 7.2.
Yeah, I'm going to go with an 8.1 because I do like them more than Coheed.
That's
the other. So I'll go 8.1.
That's fair. That is
just
fair.
Just wanted to call out their luxury liner in the sky.
That is, I've actually raised my score a little bit from the first time I gave them a score. It's still not going to make you very happy. Although to me, again, my scale is very different from yours.
It
like
is.
Anything that is above a 5 for me is, I like it a lot. It's the Weezer line, people. The Weezer line.
There
is
the
5.
Weezer line. Yes.
The most average band of all time because of what they've done. 6.75.
That is a really good Colton rating.
That's
especially because you added a 5 on the end too.
I did.
Like you couldn't live with 6.8. Just that's
it feels right to me to give that 6.75. I don't do decimals. If you're listening to this and going, why are there decimals? You know what?
It's tough. That's why I had to say 8.1. I should have given Coheed a 7.9. Then I could have just said 8 for Zeppelin. All right, moot point. Go ahead.
It's always why I wonder, how does Pitchfork get their rate? I know there's like a mathematical thing they probably do, but it's always a little like, okay, come on.
Yeah, is it one person or is it multiple people? And they just have to average it out? Maybe something like that.
Who knows? Maybe that's what we'll go through all of our scores and average out. I would love to see who was the highest.
Yeah, for as much as we probably talk shit about Pitchfork, is our show basically Pitchfork?
I don't want to think about that too much. All right. So here's the deal. At this point in the podcast is where one of us will tell the other one, what are we listening to for the next episode? And when we first recorded this, and again, I keep looking at that little thing. It says recording.
That's
we
recording.
Have been
that
recording.
Motherfucker is recording.
If this doesn't work again,
then we're not talking about Zeppelin. Zeppelin. We will be skipping Zeppelin if that happens. We'll come back to it.
Round number 3. But what I decided was, after my choice, I was thinking more about Zeppelin, and I was trying to think more about that great conversation we had about songwriting. And it made me think about, well, okay, when I hear Zeppelin, what was another band that was basically at the same time, like a little bit before them, but really at the heart of when they're at their peak, I think for both bands is about the same time period, that really late 60s to early 70s.
Okay.
And I was like, is there another band that was doing things that, to me, at least when I talk about that term songwriting, I just recognize far more immediately and give them more credit. And there is one, and that's the band I chose. So I can give you some hints. I don't know if you can guess from that.
Pink Floyd.
I'm going to give you some hints.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. See, I could give you one and you'll instantly get it. So I want to be a little bit.
I just have to say Pink Floyd is who I is. There's a symbiotic thing between Zeppelin and Floyd for me. Not music wise.
And it's funny because what I'm about to say, I feel like the band I have, well, at least for me, them and Zeppelin feel like they get linked a lot. Okay. And that's part of what I'm so interested to talk to you about.
A bad company.
All right. Boss.
Bruce Springsteen.
I'm being purposely kind of deaf.
Def Leppard? Yeah. Thank God.
Pinball.
Oh, God. The Who?
Yeah.
We're going
to do The Who. We're going to do, starting with The Who Sellout in 1967, all the way to Quadrophenia from 1973. So four albums from The Who.
Cool.
I don't want this to turn into a Who versus Zeppelin kind of deal. I'm more interested in putting them next to each other lightly, but focusing more on The Who, of course. But they're around the same time as Zeppelin, these records. I think the first one comes out in 1967, so a little bit before. Okay. Tommy, which is 1969.
Your favorite concept album.
Love Tommy. Mm-hmm. Who's Next, 1971. And then Quadrophenia, which is a little after Zeppelin, but we saw at least 73.
Yeah, all right. All right, that's not bad at all.
That's fair, huh. Yeah. Just get ready for me to talk a lot about Keith Moon, because Keith Moon
You know what band he almost ended off in? Led Zeppelin.
Can you imagine? And
actually, isn't he credited for naming Led Zeppelin? Yeah, he's credited for naming him. Yeah, Tori, he said something about if Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck start a band together, that thing's going down like a heavy balloon. All right, my last little bit on Zeppelin, everybody. We're closing it out. Hopefully,
and I learned something new. I didn't even know that.
There you go. There you go. Nice little close out with that. We're going to be doing The Who. Colton, this was not as excruciating as I thought it was going to have to do this all over again.
No, and I think it was, well, I'm just going to say it was better. No one will ever know if it was or not.
It's like the song Tribute, the previous one. That was the perfect thing none of you get to hear.
This is a tribute.
Let Lucky go.
He's out. He's free.
Let Lucky go, or I'm bringing back Martha.
He's free. I know what you're trying to get me to do, and I'm not going to do it again.
You'll do this.
Hey, everybody,
get ready to meet the family of the O'Briens.
Please email us at know.your.writes.podcast@gmail.com. Emails and
anything.
Nudes. Else. Slow down on those things.
Why do you?
It's not happening.
He always stifles it. All right, everybody.
Goodbye, everyone.